B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yes.
That's that you need to know. He's H-E-M-B-O. Hembo.
Hembo. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Hemakinas Hembo. What's up, brother?
Mike, you missed at the risk of overreacting, right? The question here after week one for the Eagles is not, are they going to win the Super Bowl? The question is now, how many Super Bowls are they going to win? You think I got that right?
Yeah, I got that right. So first of all, let's look back at last week and then we'll get into some numbers for this week. The biggest takeaways from week one, according to you and the stats that you laid out for us last week.
Well, one thing I knew, or one thing I thought that I knew, is that this team had the chance to be an elite run game, given the O-line, given the mobility of the quarterback. But one thing I did not know was that Nick Sirianni was going to do as good a job as he did in scheming guys open for Jalen Hurts. He had the lowest average depth of target of any quarterback in week one. And this is the quarterback that we talked about last week. Had issues with his accuracy. And if last week was any indication, it demonstrates that Sirianni is going to let Hurts walk before he runs, which I think will go a long way in allowing this offense to be risk averse. And secondly, I was really impressed with the sort of marriage between the front four and the secondary. Like, the Eagles secondary is something that I think will likely determine how good it can be this year. And obviously the front four was so freaking good that Atlanta's longest play from scrimmage, Mike, as you said on your show this week, was 18 yards. So, and the Eagles had eight of those plays on offense. So I think we're living in a world in which obviously things hit in a way in week one that I definitely did not expect, at least to that extent. And before we sort of like poo-poo the performance based upon the opponent, the Eagles were an underdog in the game. Like, now everyone says the Falcons stink on ice. They might. But the Eagles were an underdog in the game and won handily. So you can spare me with the Falcons slander.
Okay. All right. Now, but here's the thing that you just mentioned. Walk, don't run. Smart defensive coordinators are going to know that and maybe play it accordingly and force him to do some things out of his comfort zone.
I most definitely think so. And the 49ers' specialty really is this dynamic pass rush. But, Mike, I do think that can be neutralized using the quarterback run and the threat of the quarterback run. And here's what I mean. So the Eagles ran the zone read 13 times for 93 yards last week against Atlanta. And though the samples are, I think, somewhat small, that is a concept that Kyle Shanahan defenses have struggled with in recent history. And secondly, Hurts should not major. He just should absolutely not specialize in this game in the drop-back pass game. Over the last three seasons, so this goes back to the year in which the 49ers won the NFC, that defense ranks fourth in the league on attempts inside the pocket, but 27th on attempts outside the pocket. In other words, when those edge rushers can sort of pin their ears back and go uphill, I think that Jalen Hurts is going to have himself a long day. But if the Eagles can sort of, I think, probably design maybe two designed rollouts a quarter, two quarterback runs a quarter, will go a long way in neutralizing that pass rush and making the drop-back pass game even easier for Jalen Hurts.
All right, so that's stat one in the Eagles' favor. Let's go now to the Eagles' defense and what the 49ers can do against them as far as throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, so I think there is one word that will define the fate of the Eagles' defense on Sunday, and that one word, Mike, is pursuit. Here's what I mean. Last week against Detroit, the 49ers averaged 10.5 yards after the catch per catch. 10.5. That accounted for 60% of their passing offense. And that is in large part because they attacked the middle of the field and avoided the perimeter of the field. Jimmy G attempted 25 passes in that game, and 20 of those were between the numbers. The good thing, I think, in the Eagles' favor here, though, is that they're going to live in zone, just like they did last week. The Eagles played man on three dropbacks last week. When you play zone, you're going to allow some soft stuff underneath, but you are going to limit yards after the catch, which is the area in which the 49ers specialize. And I think despite the fact that they're banged up on the back end, I think the Eagles are also very likely to use multiple high safeties, no matter who they are, because during his time as 49ers quarterback, Jimmy G has struggled with those looks much more than he has against single high safeties.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, that's two stats in the Eagles' favor. So now let's go to the third, and I'm not sure this is in their favor, but everybody is gaga over the Eagles now, moving them up in the power rankings, including ESPN with some major spots moved up.
That's right. So the Eagles jumped eight spots from 28 to 20 in ESPN's Football Power Index after beating Atlanta, but FPI still does favor the 49ers in this game, albeit slightly. We say that San Francisco has a 53% chance to win this game. That equates only to a one-point favorite. So our model says it's practically a coin flip, which is a more favorable outlook than, you know, Vegas says.
So your stat has this more of an Eagles outright win than even Vegas does.
That's right. This our Football Power Index says this game is effectively a coin flip. So like, if this game was being played in San Francisco, the Eagles would be something like a 3-point underdog, according to our model. And that's what they are at home. So our internal metrics say the Eagles are a little bit better than Vegas.
Boy, I don't trust the fanfare, Hembo. I got to be honest with you. Fanfare makes teams smell themselves.
All right. Can I give you one more statistic?
Yes.
That might make you smell yourself.
Go ahead.
Okay. So last week, I nailed this, like you said. I told you that Matt Ryan simply does not cover as a favorite. And this week, Mike Missanelli, I am here to tell you that 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan does not either. For his career, for his head coaching career, Shanahan's teams are 7-17-1. 7-17-1 against the spread when favored. There are 22 coaches that have coached at least 20 games as a favorite over the last five seasons, and Shanahan's cover percentage, 29%, is the lowest in that group by a mile. What say you?
Well, that tells me the 49ers can win by one or two. That's what that says. So I don't really know. So we'll get to the skinny here. You called it last week easily. Is this an outright for the Eagles?
I can't go there, but I will say this. Based upon the statistical profile that I just sort of laid out for both teams, there is a very clear path for the Eagles to win this game outright. The problem I have here is the 49ers are a really good team, and I think the reason we soured on them just a little bit this week is because they played a really bad fourth quarter against the Lions. This is a more talented team than us. This is probably a better team than us, but the Eagles are going to host this game. We know that will make a difference here for them to have to fly across the country, so that's one point in the Eagles' favor. Like I said,
well, they don't have to fly across the country, though.
Fair enough.
They're staying in West Virginia.
Good note. That's a good note. They Jalen Hurts has an opportunity here to, I think, exploit parts of that defense that the Lions did in some sense last week. And the Eagles' base defense is one that naturally you favor against a team like the 49ers, whose concepts rely a lot on yards after the catch, like I detailed. So I think there's a very clear path for the Eagles to win. I like the Eagles against the number, but I can't give you a fervent outright the way that I did in week one.
Okay. All right, sounds good. All these stats are in their favor, and my only concern is that it's too much too soon, the adoration. But we'll see.
Well, I hope that you're wrong. Obviously, like week one just jolted all of us, and like I said, it might wind up being that the Atlanta Falcons stink on ice. So this is actually the first real test for this team. But I'm dying to see what Nick Sirianni has cooked up. It feels to me like he's a hot coach right now and is going to have a few good weeks before the league figures him out.
All right. One quick question here. It's a food question. Do you like an Annie Ann's pretzel?
Only if it's my only option. I mean, I put them down before, but I'm not going out of my way.
Too buttery, right?
Yeah. Like if I have to go through the whole bottle of Purell when I'm done.
there you go. That's the problem with them.
Yeah, man.
I got you.
If I got a fork and knife, maybe I'll put it out. Otherwise, I'm out.
That's the way I feel.
I've been hanging out with Greeny too long.
All right, brother. You got it, Hembo. Thank you, sir.
You're a good man.
That's Hembo. Yes, from the Top Dance Business Hotline.
That's you need to know. H-E-M-B-O. Hembo.
Well, what do you think of those stats, Tyro?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.